he'd have some information to it, but it'd be fun, and he'd go off on stretches where he just kind of goes after it. I think I've done it.
Are you highlighting the first Bluntcast guest as well?
No,
just the
guest.
Not,
it's okay. Not about the guest, right? But it'll be Seth Rogen. Now, all this being said, we have yet to have any official. The Browns are expected to interview ... for the head coaching job.
Yeah.
I do think it was interesting that Adam Schefter today on whatever podcast he has.
It was the Pat McAfee show?
But with Pat McAfee's producer?
Yeah, I think so, right?
We credit that?
I think so.
Okay, then let's do that. On the Pat McAfee show with McAfee's like sixth most important guy.
That's how that show works. I think the guy's filling in for McAfee today. He's in front of a screen that says Pat McAfee show.
I think he's
the guy filling in for McAfee.
A little on
McAfee.
The nose for me.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe like a life-size cutout of Pat in the background. However, talking about how the Browns search for a head coach might look.
I don't think the Cleveland Browns can hire a defensive-minded coach and keep that defense together the way it is for this reason. Their defensive coordinator, Jim Schwartz, has done an unbelievable job. He's respected around the league. If they hire a defensive-minded head coach, let's think of the top defensive candidates, Brian Flores, Jesse Minter, whoever, Jim Schwartz is not going to be happy about that.
No.
And they're going to lose him. So if you're the Browns, you are absolutely looking at an offensive-minded head coach so you can retain your defensive coordinator who's sought after. I think that's how they're thinking in Cleveland right now. I think that's how they have to think because Jim Schwartz is that good and that valuable. If they lose Schwartz, that defense steps back.
I've noticed that Adam really likes to use slight pauses.
Almost doing a shot
here and there.
Yeah.
To really make himself sound more intelligent.
Oh, by the way, that was the Adam Schefter podcast where he had the producer from Pat McAfee's show as his actual guest. That's how that works. Schefter can book anybody on the planet, but it's McAfee's producer. That's the guy that he gets.
It's
okay.
That guy.
That's guy. Right. I like the thought process though.
I don't.
I hated the delivery, but I like the thought process. I know it doesn't vibe with the... And by the way, you can find an offensive guy that's the leader of men. That totally is a thing. I always gravitate towards offensive-minded people. That's just how I always think.
I understand. I just think if you just limit yourself to one side of the ball, or, hey, have you called plays... I think it gets really dangerous really quickly, and well, I think you cut yourself off good
This was more about the preservation of making sure that Schwartz remains the defensive coordinator.
I think you have to talk to Jim, and I think any defensive head coach, like a Chris Shula, you'd have to go, hey, just so you know, you're the head coach. You don't call plays. You're not the defensive coordinator. That's not why you're here. You're here to be the head coach. And as long as – and listen, it might be make or break for Jim. I can't listen if – I love Jim. I would do almost anything. I would pay him asinine amounts of money to stay. But if his thing is, I can't go with that head coach because he coached on the defensive side of the ball, then it looks like I just lost Jim Schwartz.
And I think that's what Schefter's saying the Browns are scared of happening, really, in reality. And we don't know. I don't know if the Browns are going to be scared of losing Jim Schwartz this way. We have no idea. What we do know is that for the past couple years, they've been one of the best defenses in the NFL. And I do think Schefter's right. I think you take a step back if Jim Schwartz isn't here.
No, definitely. Well, okay, if Jim Schwartz isn't here and you replace him with a guy that needs to switch the system. Meaning like Jonathan
Gannon.
That's
part of the problem with Brian Flores, by the way.
Yeah.
They run two different systems.
He runs a 3-3-2 and you don't have enough beef up front.
And if Flores comes in, first off, that's not what Myles Garrett has ever been the best in. You do run a risk of changing everything up, trying to make everything completely different and seeing who fits and doesn't fit. And you have a chance to taking a step back.
But I think it does. I think it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I just don't like limiting your coaching search because of anything. You need to just go cast a wide net and find the right guy. All this being said, everybody's got to have a name. Who was the odds-on favorite from Vegas? The leadoff was Saleh, right?
I'd have to double check it. But as of yesterday, I think Saleh was number one. Yes,
but. So we've done the not list. We've started that.
Yeah, we did do that.
And so we're going to continue
It was Saleh, McCarthy, Joe Brady, Jim Schwartz, Kubiak. Those were your top five all at 9-1 or better.
All right. So do you have a name that you lead and go, this is the guy?
Well, no. First off, no, I don't. I don't have. I don't have a name that I love. I don't have a name that
you're gonna die on the hill of.
The name that I'm gonna throw out there, if in another context someone's like, "Oh yeah, Jonathan wants this guy," I get embarrassed hearing that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love that. I've been staunchly against this guy for the majority of the time that he's been a head coach.
I think I already know where
you
it's
know
going.
Where I'm going. I'm going with Mike McCarthy.
Yeah,
it's the best I got, and I hate it. I can't stand it. There's a couple reasons why I think he fits for the Browns right now. Coming from Dallas. Jerry World is, that's, if you want to come anything close to what Haslam recreates, it's Jerry Jones in Dallas. And he maneuvered that as best as you possibly can. So Haslam's going to be a walk in the park compared to what Jerry Jones can do. I think that's valuable. He won 12 games, three straight years in Dallas. And I know he had all sorts of talent on that team. I get it. The problem I have with Mike McCarthy is there is a clear and cut ceiling with Mike McCarthy. This version of Mike McCarthy, okay, from like 2012 on, there's a clear ceiling that he has. This would have to be a, he gets you to where Mike Tomlin has the Steelers for the previous 8 years. You're at a slightly above 500 team. You may win a playoff game, you may not, and then you got to move on from him. It would be like a stopgap of sorts for like 2 or 3 years to get you in a good spot, and then you get going. But that's the best I can come up with. And if anyone tries to say that I'm like, this is who I'm pounding the table for, I get embarrassed at the thought of it, but it's the best I got.
I don't think McCarthy's a bad head coach. By the way, I talked to Doug Peterson, too. I know the end in Jacksonville wasn't good. He won a playoff game in Jacksonville 2 years before being fired, and the guy did win a Super Bowl. I think he has something like, in 7 or 8 years as a head coach, he's got something like 8 or 9 playoff wins, which is ridiculous.
His name has not come up at all, by the way, which is interesting.
I'm kind of blown away that it hasn't been, because I would be as comfortable with Peterson as I would McCarthy. And again, I'm not, those aren't the guys I'm, if there's one guy, if you make me say, like, who would be the guy that would be like, that I'd be most positive today, it would be Flores. And with all the changes that honestly, the problem with Flores is I would have to go and I would say, you're the head coach. Jim Schwartz is my defensive coordinator. And if you don't accept it, then you don't accept it. And I also think the other problem is everyone just goes, oh, he's going to Las Vegas. That might be so. But just because Tom Brady loves Brian Flores doesn't mean that Brian Flores loves Tom Brady
also,
or loves that
Tom
situation.
Tom Brady reportedly loved Shador Sanders at one point, too, and you saw how that ended up. Like, it doesn't mean it has to happen that way. Flores has become a very popular take with a lot of people. I do get worried about changing up the defenses, and I do get worried about, I mean, really, it's, I don't think Flores takes the job if you say Schwartz is the DC and we're running his defense, and that is
then,
what it is.
To me, so for some guys, No. I think for a guy like Flores, it might be the thing that allows me to go, you know what? I love Jim Schwartz, but I have a decision to make. I don't know. If you push me right now, I couldn't answer you. Would I choose Schwartz as the DC or Flores as a head coach? But if you talk about a guy that I know the ceiling of any team you have with him is going to be an 8-win team. I really do think if you give that guy talent...
You mean the floor?
That's not great. The floor for most teams with him is going to be 8 wins. And if it's any less than that, then that's how many games that team was going to win at best. Like I think he will maximize the floor of any team, and I think that bodes well for him.
I get the leader of men side of things with him. There's something I'm missing with him that other people are just gravitating towards, and I just can't figure out what it is. I don't know if it's the fact that he sued 3 teams across the league. It's just some people looked at it as a positive. I think you're included in that camp.
Yeah.
There's something I'm missing with the Brian Flores discussion that I there's something I can't get over, and I don't know what exactly that is, but I'm not gravitated to him the way that other people are.
I think he's the rare Belichick disciple that I think
maybe that's what's tainting it in many ways for myself.
Well, totally fair. Totally. If you look at this and go, I'm not touching the Belichick tree. Totally get it. Here's the thing. I would take Flores. If you can keep Schwartz, gosh, what a win. If I get Brian Daboll as the OC. Because whether you think it's Shador, whether you think it's Deshaun, whoever you think can start next year for this team, whether it's somebody that that's not in the building yet, I know if it's a developmental player, Brian Daboll can get it out of him.
Well, between Daboll, now we get to throw Kingsbury in the mix as the OC, by the way.
No.
I know he wants to be, not even as an OC.
No, I have no interest.
He's a good OC.
I disagree. He's not. I
understand the concerns as a head coach. I think he could be an OC. We saw it.
I think everything that I've heard about him as an OC is the same thing I've heard about Kevin as a coordinator, that his idea of what an offense is has passed by. It's gotten stale, didn't grow, not creative. I don't – for an OC, if I got Flores, that's going to scare the crap out of you when you ask him a question at a press conference. If that's my head coach, I need a Mike McDaniel. I need a genius as the OC. That, or at the very least, with Daboll, a guy I know can develop talent.
I mean, he was just in the NFC title game 2 years ago. Like, I think that'd be a home run as an OC hire. I think between, there's a couple guys we always float out as like this pie in the sky dream. But either way, if it's Daboll,
I think it'd be a strike three looking.
If it's, what was our guy the other day? A swing and a
swing and a miss.
It was so abrupt.
I believe it was swing and a miss.
It was like, and I like the Browns and a swing and a miss. There's something about Flores I just don't vibe with, and there's a better than not chance that it ends up being Flores, so I'll have to find a way to vibe with it. But in the meanwhile, there's something I just don't understand what the gravitational pull is. I really don't.
I think if you start to look though, and again, by the way, I'm not going to fight you so hard. Like, I think Brian Flores is the guy that if you made me say this is the guy I'm most interested in today, that's where we're going with. I also reserve the right to change my opinion on this
for sure.
With more, which is different. Like, there have been years where everyone goes into it thinking this. There's not one of those guys in this draft. In this coaching search, and that's why. Like, I want your list of candidates to look different than Tennessee and New York. Tennessee and New York look like they just took. So far, they look just like a tweet from Adam Schefter 3 weeks ago. Adam Schefter thought these are the guys we should interview, so these are the guys we're going to interview. I want a Doug Peterson on that list. I want a David Shaw on that list. I want a Thomas Brown on that list. I want this to be comprehensive and not just, well, you were a good offensive coordinator with this quarterback, let's roll.
Yeah, I mean, offensive coaches in general, it's been a very stale thing across the NFL for years now, that you just take these offensive minds and you prop them up and you give them an opportunity. But I don't love anybody is the problem. Like,
doesn't
this,
that free you though? There's an element of
I hate this.
Oh no, see, well, okay, in fairness, it leaves room for the Browns to screw it up. But I get really uncomfortable when there's an anointed guy. Because, yes, Vrabel and Johnson have worked out.
Matt Nagy
was an anointed guy.
There usually isn't an anointed guy, but there's usually somebody that I love that most people haven't come around to yet for whatever reason, or they haven't seen it the way that I've seen it, so that it's me trying to get people to maybe see it the way I see it. And that part of it is fun for me. And the idea that I just – there's flaws with all of these guys in an immense way is very troubling to me.
Do you have a favorite candidate? If you the person you're going to put atop the board to start the search, and here's the thing. There is a guy. He's just not available yet. The $20 million question in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Really struggled with the Ravens just because their roster, like, to be where they were in the first place and to be in a playoff spot, I think was a really good coaching job by Harbaugh. Mm-hmm. At the same point, this isn't even about is John Harbaugh a good head coach. It's about do John Harbaugh and Lamar still like each other after all this time?
Right, that's the story.
And it feels like that every couple years the tension pops up, and this feels. I mean, it feels back to where it was when Lamar was going for a new contract, and while the team was playing in a playoff game, he cleaned out his locker. Like, it feels like that kind of bad again because of the way this season has gone, and there just aren't too many head coaches. There just aren't too many head coaches who get to have that kind of relationship with a quarterback where things bubble up every couple years, get so bad that it impacts the regular season, and then each time they keep their job.
Yeah, usually the star player will win out in this battle. The star quarterback, the guy that's won two MVPs, they're going to win out in this. And in a defense of Harbaugh, you can't point to this awesome postseason record. You can't do it. Since the 2020 started, they have two playoff wins. Like, that's not good enough either. And so, like, there's a weird part of this. Again, it's very similar to the Tomlin conversation in many ways, because you look at a guy that you know is a good head coach, but the lack of playoff wins tell you a different story if you look at it for the previous 6 years.
Yeah. And listen, I also think you came into the season thinking Super Bowl and you didn't make the playoffs. Like that, like,
and for three straight years, you have been at one point or another the Super Bowl favorite and have not cashed anywhere close to cashing in.
Can I tell you the devil's advocate that comes to mind? this does seem a little first world problem-y to me.
Okay.
Meaning, like, I understand that if in Baltimore you're calling for Harbaugh, I think that's what a fan should do. If you came in thinking Super Bowl, you look and it's only Josh Allen, the only elite quarterback in the AFC to really make the playoffs.
You were the preseason favorites.
Like,
yeah.
I understand if you look at this and go, damn the context, you should be there. There is an element, there is a part of this. I know it goes against what we want. It's a part of it that says, well, you've had hard times before and then you've rebounded and gotten back on track. Maybe do that. Maybe just draft well this offseason. You know what I mean? You got the 18th pick. When they've drafted in the middle teens, they've had as much success as anyone. Kyle Hamilton being a guy that fell to 14. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. There is a part of me that goes, well, listen, it really comes down to is, can you fix it with Lamar? If not, then you have to do what you have to do.
So that's why this is different than
Will Lamar be honest about it with the Ravens?
Well, as I point out some of the similarities of the Steelers' situation, this is where it is different, is that the Steelers have run into a spot where they have a very old and bad defense with a lot of money being spent on that side of the ball, right? And so, like, they're just at a spot where they just need to tear it down and figure some new things out and then go through a 2-3 year window where they work on that, right? Ravens aren't really in that spot.
Yeah.
Like, they're not. They're ready to win now. And so it really does come down to that relationship between Lamar and Harbaugh. And I don't know. I mean, right now it seems like it's untenable. If you're Harbaugh, how hard do you want to work to make this thing right?
Now, I think what's interesting is that the conversation becomes the second he's let go, he instantly becomes the top guy for every spot in the NFL. John strikes me as the kind of guy that knows, having known the NFL, it wouldn't surprise me if he took a year off and said, none of these jobs are good. Be quite honest with you, I think people would instantly earmark him with the Giants job. That's not a good job. I would expect in that event for Jimmy Haslam to go damn the torpedoes, $20 million, do everything he can to land John Harbaugh. It's the only guy that if he comes available, I think you just have to do whatever you can do. Give him the keys to the franchise. Give him the Jim Harbaugh treatment that the Chargers did.
Oh, no, I was thinking about the Broncos with Sean Payton.
Who's your GM?
I was thinking about the Broncos situation where they gave him everything under the sun. $25 million a year, whatever that reportedly came out to be. Like, any autonomy he wanted. Basically told him, you run the show. Whatever you want to do, it's your dime, your dance for.
Yep, and by the way, this would include, I mean, I'm assuming he's okay with it because Shador was the guy that the Ravens were going to draft, but this includes, hey, what about Shador? What about the quarterback position? What about Miles, quite frankly?
Everything, because then Andrew Berry would have to be the one that basically reports to John Harbaugh in this equation.
Or,
like, he would understand that Harbaugh is his boss now.
I think it's Andrew Berry asking John Harbaugh, can I have my job, sir?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
But Harbaugh comes in with the
I am the captain now mentality.
And here's the thing. He doesn't strike me as a guy that has that. Meaning, like, Jim's definitely more the egoist between the two of them.
Yeah.
Jim kind of, his ego leads sometimes, and the weirdness and the milk with the steak and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that John would automatically walk in and go, I need all of this. But that's the only guy. Like, if John Harbaugh becomes available, and if you want to impress me and immediately make me excited about this situation, even if it means, like, if the Ravens go, hey, we have him under contract for the next 3 years, okay, here's a third rounder. Andrew Berry's just going to draft a fat-ass defensive tackle who can't play football anyways, looking at you, Siaki Ika. But
he's taken so many strays in the past couple days.
Ika? I think that's the first one. Who else did?
You brought him up yesterday, too. Yeah.
Togiai. And he played well.
No, you brought up both. You brought up both.
I did?
And then other people I've heard also brought up Siaki Ika. It's been like a banner. It's been the weird 48 hours for Siaki Ika.
But it's weird, like, you know, when... This goes back to the point that I made earlier, that there's a lot of doom and gloom that, quite frankly, some of it is warranted, most of it isn't. When you're in the ashes of a second loss season and when you just fired a head coach that was here for 6 years, I understand a fair amount of this doom and gloom. But there's a fair amount of people that go, he's not going to consider the Browns. Guys, you have an owner that will spend money beyond the wazoo, which is something
Bengals won't do that. If he's holding out for Joe Burrow, the Bengals aren't going to pay him nearly as much money as what the Browns can do.
Also, and Steve, Bisciotti doesn't do it.
I was going to say, I don't know that the Pagulas in Buffalo do that either.
So
there's a whole web of owners that refuse to pay money towards these head coaches.
Yep.
There's like half the league. I know fans know this, but I want to clarify because there legitimately is half the league where owners look at this and say, we don't pay these guys a lot of money. That's not what we do. The head coach doesn't. They don't get $15, $20, $25 million a year.
Well, and they don't do what Jimmy Haslam's done, which is cap manipulation, which means he's spending sometimes twice the amount of money to move money around from year to year, which allows you to have a tremendous bandwidth when it comes to what you can actually spend in free agency from year to year, who you can re-sign and who you can't re-sign. Like, that is a feather in the cap of Jimmy Haslam. And I do think, like, If you look at this job and go, well, year one, it's not great because I don't know what the quarterback's going to be. John's going to walk in with one of the five best defenses in the NFL and Myles Garrett. If you think that's not a feather in the cap for the Browns in this job, I just think we need to stop acting like the New York job is this big, glitzy job. Maybe he loves Jackson Dart. Maybe he doesn't. I don't. Maybe that's enough for him to go. They've fired head coaches every 2 years. You have to deal with Joe Shane, who's still going to be there, which is a dumb idea. And, oh, by the way, the rest of their roster needs a lot of work. So I'm not saying definitively he wouldn't like New York more. I don't know. Maybe he prefers the East Coast to the Midwest. I really don't know. But to this idea of, well, Harbaugh wouldn't come here. You don't know that, and that's for Jimmy Haslam to change the mind of Harbaugh one way or another.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet your money on it happening, but...
Well, thank you. I don't have a lot.
I'm not betting my own money. I'm not going to bet yours
Jimmy
on
Haslam's
it.
Would you bet Jimmy Haslam's money?
No, I'm not betting anybody's money on it. It's just lighting money
out
on fire. But that's what I'm getting to, though, is that if we're going to do the... let's go back to the Larry David spite store of this. If this is him just saying, I want to give the big middle finger to the Ravens, and I want to play them twice a year, and I want to stick it to Lamar as much as I possibly can, like, there are certain areas where you can talk yourself into this. I don't think it's an instant no. And I don't think it's... I think it's going to take a lot of creativity, the same way it took a lot of creativity for the Browns to land Deshaun Watson when everyone said you couldn't do that, too. And again, like, you gotta get real different in your thinking, and they've shown they've done that before, even to much chagrin of Browns fans.
216-474-0092. So we are waiting to see what happens in Baltimore, but if John Harbaugh became available, do you think he would consider the Browns? We do want to hear from you on the 92.3 The Fan YouTube chat. We haven't gotten to the chatters out there.
Drop those corn emojis.
Drop those corn emojis. Corn Lito, where are you at? That's right, he's probably...
Corn Lito, more like Fraud Lito, if you ask me.
Yeah.
You not going after Corn Lito is just an upset of the century.
No.
Upset of the century.
You called him Fraud Lito. I don't think that's okay. I'm not like, I feel like Corn Lito in of itself is more, because it's Coin Lito. I think it's more insulting to call him Coin Lito.
It's all insulting. Drop those corn emojis.
Drop those corn emojis. We got them. Look over there. The Texas truth is dropping those corn emojis.
Just understand, I want as much insult hurled towards Corn Lito as I possibly can.
I think
with
he
no good
himself.
Reason, by the way. I don't know. He might be a nice guy. I have no idea.
I think he insults himself with some of his
Does
takes.
He? Yeah,
Cool Ray in Bedford. What's up, buddy? Do you want John Harbaugh here in Cleveland?
No way, Jose.
My name's
Nick. We go from one losing coach to another. Are you guys kidding me?
What the heck are you talking about, a losing coach?
So Harbaugh couldn't get Lamar Jackson, an MVP caliber quarterback, out the playoffs. What is he going to do with a quarterback with less?
You know, he's been in the playoffs with Lamar. He was in the AFC title game a couple years ago, right?
He couldn't get Lamar anywhere. That's the... you talking about a two-time MVP, Lamar Jackson? Now you want to put him with a quarterback, whoever we get, with less skills. Lamar Jackson.
They've been to the playoffs 6 of the last 8 seasons, and their low water mark has been 8 wins in the 2 other years.
And that's with Lamar Jackson. Imagine what is he going to do with a quarterback without Lamar Jackson's skill set?
Are you saying, Cool Ray, that quarterbacks are important to the head coach? Because I'm going to be surprised here.
Listen, I would say this. I do not want him here. I do not want him here. I want this.
He's got 13 playoff wins since 2008.
I know, but Lamar, it's 2 since 2020, I think, is the hang up there. Because there is that narrative around him, is that even with Lamar, you're not winning playoff games. And that is a problem, right? But it's a problem I'm willing to go ahead and take head on if it means he's the head coach here.
But that's what, see, y'all doing that, but y'all saying, y'all forgetting, that's with Lamar Jackson. Now, add in any quarterback that we have on this roster or may not have on this roster, where he's not equipped. I've always said he had a Lamborghini team over there, and it's something wrong with that. So I don't think he's a great coach. I'm not even a Stefanski fan at all. We could have kept Stefanski other than him. Like, no, I want someone who's going to come in here and who can reach some of these young guys. But I have a question because, you know, I do respect you guys.
I like that.
So much.
I like, but here comes so here's the butt.
Here's a question I want to pose to you guys.
I like
that. Yesterday, everybody was talking about how Stefanski was, you know, it was coming across like, oh, he got a raw deal. Can I ask you guys a real question now? And y'all can talk about it off air if y'all want to.
Yeah.
Would we really be talking about, Stefanski with his record and him getting another job if he was a black coach with that record,
JP, you want to take that one?
Do I think he'd still be the belle of the ball if he was black? Yes,
I do. If he was black with his record over the last two seasons, do you think that he'd be talking about getting a job this fast?
I think so. I don't know that I'm the right person to be able to answer this definitively one way or another, but I do think so. Yeah, two coach of the years. And you got to think about it. This coaching market stinks. Like, that's the advantage Stefanski has in all this is the idea that this coaching market absolutely stinks.
So I think, to me, these are two people I really want to see them interview. If you're not going to give it to the defensive coach here, who I think, because whoever's coaching here has to take on that defensive coach because he can't go anywhere. So it's not just you may take on Shador. You have to take on this defensive coach. So if he's not going to be the head coach,
Cool, Ray, I got to let you go here. We got a little bit of breaking news.
Look at that,
news. Just a little bit, and it's on topic here, so I apologize, Cool Ray. Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network saying Ravens OC Todd Monken has received a request to be interviewed for the Browns head coaching job. He received multiple requests last year and should again.
But why?
We need more Monken. Isn't that the bit? I guess the Browns want more Monken.
I don't want Harbaugh adjacent.
This is what they're asking
Harbaugh.
For. He's received the request to be interviewed for the Browns head coaching job. Well,
is it because they want him to be the next
offensive coordinator? You wanted them to cast a wide net. This is them casting that wide net.
It's to Baltimore. It's their OC. That's not a wide net.
Well, I mean, we're going to get there. We're going to interview a lot of different people in order to cast this wide net.
So then you extend the net after that?
I'm assuming this isn't going to be the guy that gets the job. This is just part of that extension. You wanted this wide-ranging interview. You can't mock them when they go ahead and interview all these people then.
He's going to get an interview with a lot of people.
Yeah, so Todd Monken has received the request.
Hey,
from the
Todd, the Ravens offense not been great with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry this year. Thoughts? I think we should pass the ball less. I don't even know where we're going here.
Because we loved him so much as the OC in 2019, right? Like, we loved him so much when he was here.
Is that just it? Like, is this
well,
like
the Haslam's love
people
like that have been in the building?
Is this somebody gets divorced and they just have to go back and they just go sleep with people they've previously slept with?
That is a Haslam thing. The Haslams love people they've interviewed previously or they've had in the building previously and then become fond of. And Monken was in the building and I didn't realize they had this level of fondness for him, but here we are.
216-474-0092. I don't think Todd Munkin's a bad offensive coordinator. I don't know why I would want him as a head coach. I don't know why. But what do we think about Monken? More on that in the name game that we don't want the Cavs to be in on in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. What I was doing in that Todd Monken reaction is the same thing that everyone's going to do to every name, which is bleh.
That's the hard part of this whole entire thing.
And so
every response is going to get I can make sure that I criticize, that I basically go through this whole guy's career and just tear it down to the studs. Everyone we're going to talk about, we could do this with.
I would say Todd Monken is not in my top five. He's probably not in my top 10. Would you put him close to the top of your board or closer to the not list?
No, he's closer to the not list.
I'm kind of somewhere in the middle there.
But these are the type of things that we, in many ways, were asking the Browns to do, is bring in guys that weren't just automatically on Vegas's big board. And then the reality is that the guy that's going to get this job is going to get it with things said and done that we're not privy to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the reality. So Monken comes in, blows their socks off, and showcases all these different ways that he can be awesome with them offensively and all these other different things. And okay, then we're off to the races. And you know, we got to trust these guys, which is a hard thing to do these days.
Monken was cool with drafting Shador.
Well, and I mean, really, he took
the Shador Whisperer.
That's right. I mean, Baltimore was very in on Shador Sanders, so we know Monken already likes Shador, you would imagine.
Yep.
And he's been in the building before, and really, after doing a year with Freddie Kitchens, that's like doing like 12 years at Rikers. That's a real penance.
I like the idea that they bring Todd in, and then just like, hey, Todd, what do you think about John Harbaugh? Is he available? What do you think? Have you heard about this guy?
They're doing research on Harbaugh. background. So yeah. What is Harbaugh? Harbaugh likes Dots pretzels. Is that right? That's what he enjoys?
Is he a Southwest guy? Is he a garlic parm guy? All the real ones know garlic parm is the real one.
If you were to visit Parma, what restaurant do you think he'd like to go to?
Is he a polka guy?
Do you like that birria? What does he enjoy?
Sokolowski's is closed. Pierogies? What do we think about that, right?
When you guys talk, what do you talk about? What TV shows is he into?
What's he into?
Right. Then they make a
what's his guilty pleasure?
Then they make a whole pitch based off of like Harbaugh's favorite movie characters, and then coming to the Browns.
Here's the thing. I started
was that
thinking,
weird Knicks pitch they did a few years back. The same idea. Jack knows what I'm talking about.
When they had the Soprano. When they had James Gandolfini and do like a hey Camilla with Camilla's gonna be a Knick. Hey. I don't have a good Gandolfini.
I appreciate the attempt.
You got that thing going.
What are you talking about?
He talks through his nose.
You sound like you've never watched The Sopranos ever right now.
Big P, you got him there. You got Vito with the construction worker guy.
Okay, good. Okay.
You got the pool cue and whatnot. Sure, like there's a lot of things. A lot of ins and outs.
Meadow.
His mom, awful. A lot of people aren't willing to say that. Tony Soprano's mother.
No, that's like the understood. That's the understood part of that show.
No, people don't understand this. She was
very awful.
Oh, Mama Soprano, such a sweetheart. She's a little old lady. I'm like, guys, she's not. She was ruthless.
Everyone knew she was ruthless.
No. I'm the first person to say that because I'm a big Sopranos guy. The Kirk Cousins thing, just real quick, because I want to get to the Trae Young thing.
Yeah.
The Kirk Cousins thing is borderline hilarious to me. That Kirk Cousins, the whole reason this restructure that you heard in Katie's 2020 that you didn't hear about Todd Monken.
You just can't help yourself.
I can't. I'm on a generational run of subtweeting everyone.
I was the one that was rude today.
Yeah.
If it helps. Yeah.
Now I feel challenged. I must buck up and show who's the real a-hole around here.
Katie came in so proud. She's like, I did all this research on Kirk Cousins. I'm like, you should do more research on Monken being in the update.
But the whole point of the restructure is that Kirk Cousins will be cut June 1, which allows him to sign with anyone, and it would be the funniest thing in the world. I am number one, Katie. It would be the funniest thing in the world if the Browns signed Kirk Cousins the offseason after they fired Stefanski. Because I think if you could be truthful with Stefanski, if you could go back and put Kirk Cousins on this team in 2020 moving forward, I think Kevin thinks he might have a Super Bowl by now with Kirk Cousins.
It would be funny, too, if they'd line this up. Stefanski takes the Falcons' job, and then Kirk Cousins ends up on a different team that isn't Atlanta.
He ends up. Now you know where he's going to go, right? It's not San Fran. Miami. It's going to Miami.
I thought you were going to say Pittsburgh.
Oof. It makes sense.
It's a real possibility.
Aaron Rodgers is going there. Because Aaron Rodgers is going to win a playoff game, and he's going to get the taste. He also is going to understand not enough people are talking about his imaginary wife.
Yeah, and he's just going to think about that sideline throw late in that game in the fourth quarter and be like, I can do that all the time. No, you can't, Aaron. We watched all season long. No, you can't.
216-474-0092. Todd Monken. Huh? Do we want him? Are we going to steal the Baskin and Phelps bit? Do we want him?
And then do like hush whispers in the background of like, oh, I don't know. They're being very secretive about this. I think we've settled on no, but it wouldn't surprise me.
All right. I thought we had somebody here that wanted to talk about, you know what? Fred in Maple Heights. Do you want Todd Monken?
Yeah, man. I don't know about that last caller, but I'm more of a facts over feelings type guy, man. And I'm thinking to myself, like, man, as long as I can remember, man, the Ravens has always been in the hunt. They start out slow. They like Pittsburgh, but they find a way to get their wheels going later on. So I don't know, but I would take Todd Monken, man. I really would. It's the Browns thing to do. Take a person you never heard of before instead of a big name. It's the Browns thing to do. Bring him, put him in there, see what he can do. If he did want Shador,
I mean, it's not we've never heard of him. It's not we've never heard of him. He was the OC here 7 years ago.
It was a forgotten year, though.
I didn't know that at one point. I didn't know that, but
that's okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not a big name like a coach, like Harbaugh or any of the coaches' names that, you know, we can't land big name coaches to come here. So it's the Browns thing to do is to take another OC, somebody, you know, who's been behind the scenes or whatnot, familiar face. I get that. Hey, what I really wanted to call in and ask was, though, at what point do it almost feels like, was this a send off for Myles Garrett? Do we trade him to gain more assets, more pieces? Do we trade in Njoku at some point to get more assets? It almost feels like, you know, and I want Miles, and I don't want Njoku, don't get me wrong. But this team can be something, and they've shown that they can be something, especially if you put somebody else on that side of Myles Garrett. And if we can allocate some more resources for that team offensively, special teams-wise or whatnot, do you think it makes sense to do that, or would you hang on to Myles Garrett? Would you try to squeeze the most you could get out of Njoku?
Right. Well, Fred, we'll give you the answer here, buddy.
Thank you, Fred.
We appreciate
that.
Seemed
nice.
Very nice gentleman there. All right, so I cannot tell you that Miles won't be traded this offseason, because I think the new head coach might have an opinion on this. And in fairness, I think Miles might have an opinion on this. If the Browns go to Miles and say, we're doing an elongated rebuild, Miles might decide that he wants to put another trade request in there. Would I seek to do it? No. No. If somebody came and offered you, I mean, three firsts, do you have to at least talk about it? Yes. But do I want to trade Miles? No. No. We're good. We're good.
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't think they want to. I don't think they will. But it's going to come up, especially if they end up going with somebody that isn't Jim Schwartz. I feel like that might be something that really gets under Miles' skin.
Yeah, and I also think if you bring in a head coach that has, like, for instance, Brian Flores, 3-3-5 defense.
Yeah, with a different setup. Yep.
Now, putting Njoku in the same conversation, with love and respect, David's a free agent.
Oh, yeah, I think David's gone.
And I do think David is gone. Very similar to Wyatt Teller, very similar to, guys of that ilk. Honestly, I think Devin Bush is gone, which really bumps me out, because that dude,
he was great.
Really,
he was great this year.
Yeah, I mean, you were stacked pretty deep at linebackers, and so I would love to see Bush and Schlesinger again, but we'll see. But I don't think they're going to go out of their way to trade Miles, but Miles certainly can make it a conversation. 216-474-0092. Monken? Anybody? Monken? And Miles' impact in the coaching search in 5 minutes and more from you guys on 92.3 The Fan.